This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The official who may be the most powerful influencer of economic policy in America just said climate change is not his problem. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The chair of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, is saying today it is not his central bank's place to engage with climate policy. Powell addressed a gathering in Sweden today saying, quote, "We should stick to our knitting and not wander off to pursue perceived social benefits that are not tightly linked to our statutory goals and authorities." Those are seen as maximum employment, stable prices, and moderate long-term interest rates. We are not and will not be, Powell said, a climate policymaker. Contrast this with the European Central Bank, which has stated in the past that, quote, "We are firmly committed to doing our part to address climate change within our mandate." Market participants are watching the speech today through a different lens. Jeffrey Cleveland is chief economist at Payton & Riegel in Los Angeles.
There is one line in there about restoring price stability, and he says that when inflation is high, restoring price stability can require measures that are not popular. So I think most investors, particularly bond investors, are looking for any hints that the Fed is about done with hiking rates.
When he says can require measures that are not popular, this is not about, you know, the color of your footwear. This is about not popular because people are getting thrown out of work and companies are going bankrupt.
Arguably, what the Fed wants to see is softness in the labor market, David. They want to see a rise in the unemployment rate. The evidence we have means there's more work to be done from central banks in 2023 on the inflation front.
Always good to talk to Jeffrey Cleveland. He's the chief economist at Payton & Riegel in L.A. Thank you very much.
Have a good week.
The cryptocurrency heavyweight Coinbase said today it's laying off 1 in 5 employees, about 1,000 people, amid the crypto industry mess. With its rival FTX now bankrupt, the company says everyone gets 14 weeks severance. A series of storms with heavy rain and strong wind is inundating much of California. Officials say up to 14 people have died. Tens of thousands are without power. Montecito and parts of nearby Santa Barbara are under an evacuation order. President Biden issued an emergency declaration covering a dozen counties in the state where in spots 8 inches of rain fell over 12 hours. Marketplace's Lily Jamali has more from Los Angeles.
Californians have been hit with relentless rain, flooding, and mudslides as heavy winds batter parts of the state. Yesterday, officials issued evacuation orders in coastal communities, including Montecito in the south and parts of Santa Cruz County further north. About 20 miles northeast of Santa Cruz, Dave Schisler is one of many residents tracking the succession of storms here over the last week.
When the wind rages, you're just worried. I'm not so worried about myself, per se, but I'm worried about friends and family up here.
A major concern, he says, are trees left damaged or dead by the ongoing drought here.
The drought has really hit them, and now we've had all this rain, so a lot of trees are falling down.
Meanwhile, the weather prompted some schools to close yesterday, and tens of thousands of people remain without power. In Northern and Central California, Pacific Gas and Electric Company has brought in crews from out of state to help residents get their power back. But the company's chief operating officer, Adam Wright, urged patience.
As we go out to restore power, we are encountering challenges that could delay our efforts and extend our customers' outages.
Those challenges include heavy snow and even avalanche risk in higher elevations. He says repair crews are prioritizing those who've been without power the longest. In Los Angeles, I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year. And we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
The Republican majority in the House is targeting the IRS in one of their first orders of business after sorting out Kevin McCarthy as House Speaker. Yesterday, the House passed a bill to take away billions of dollars in funding for that agency, but the measure will not get through the Senate, as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
The House measure would rescind about $71 billion in IRS funding that was included in the Inflation Reduction Act that became law last year. The money will be used to upgrade the IRS's ancient computer systems and hire more employees to answer the phones and do audits. The Biden administration has said the money will be used to step up audits of very wealthy individuals and corporations, and none of the new money will be used to raise the audit rates of small businesses or households with incomes below $400,000. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office calculates that eliminating the IRS funding would increase the deficit by more than $114 billion. The bill doesn't have enough votes to pass the Senate, and Democrats, who control the Senate, say they'll ignore it. In any case, President Biden says he would veto the measure if it ever did get to his desk. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
China says South Korea and Japan are discriminating against its people by imposing COVID test rules on travelers from China. Now, China is denying some visas to visitors from those two countries. In response, there has been a surge of infections in China as that country removes COVID restrictions, a reopening welcomed by businesses and many eager to see family. The BBC's Will Bain filed this for us.
At Shanghai Airport, scenes of pure relief.
And it's been for 3 years. It's too long. I'm so happy to be back and breathe Chinese air.
I'm coming back this time because I want to celebrate Lunar New Year with my family. And I just feel so excited because I haven't been back to home for a year and a half. So it's such a big moment for me.
After more than 1,000 days, the world's most populous nation and the second largest economy is open to the world again. China threw open its borders to foreign business travelers, students and tourists this week in a move seen as one of the last significant rollbacks of the country's strict zero COVID policies.
When we come back to China, we don't have to quarantine. That's something that we were quite worried about because we have an 11-month-old baby.
British businessman Matt Lawrence, who runs language schools across northern China, told us he hoped the move would pave the way for more foreign business people like him to return to China.
The last 3 years, there's been a gradual exodus of foreigners from China. For me, as someone that's committed to staying in China for a long time, I really hope that these restrictions will help to bring some of those foreigners back.
But on Monday, Mi Feng of China's National Health Commission says the easing of restrictions doesn't mean the government is relaxing its approach to the virus.
Our focus has pivoted from preventing infection to protecting health and preventing severe cases. Downgrading COVID doesn't mean letting it rip. Rather, we are more scientific, targeted, and efficient.
The fear now is as the country reopens, though, and gets ready to celebrate the Lunar New Year, the virus looks set to surge. But former government official Victor Gao thinks the country has no option but to press ahead.
Whether you think this is the best time or not, the decision has been made. And China is going through this wall of fire, and hopefully we will emerge on the other side of the fire, more or less unscathed.
So, what now is the outlook for the economy? I asked Iris Pang, Chief Greater China Economist at the bank ING in Hong Kong.
We expect that there will be no more supply chain constraint because there will be no lockdowns anymore. But we believe that there is another worry coming out, which is US and Europe going into mild recession, which hurts China export orders.
Where would you say your confidence is in the Chinese economy now?
For the first half of the year, I will say cautiously optimistic. But for the second half of the year, I am pretty optimistic.
I'm the BBC's Will Bain for Marketplace.
Our producers are Katie Barnfield, James Graham, Ariana Rosas, Alex Schroeder, and Erica Soderstrom. Our senior producer is Meredith Gerritsen-Morby. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.